I'm Lori McCandish King reporting from Calaveras County, California, home of the celebrated Jumping Frog Contest. The event has been held since at least 1867, when Mark Twain wrote about it. In fact, that was the story that launched Twain's career. I'm here to find out what keeps people coming back to the frog jumping contest year after year. I started at the Frog Spa, where I visited with Spa Meister David Gallagher, who is responsible for the welfare of the hundreds of frogs that participate every year.
This is where we keep our frogs while they're here, while they're on vacation. I'm also called a Frogmeister.
So, Mr. Frogmeister, how long have you been doing this?
This is my 13th year.
You must really enjoy it.
I do, and it's fun. That's what keeps me going, is the fun, especially with the little kids. Before the fair, we take four or five frogs to all the elementary schools in the county. And we get the kids, we tell them a story about Mark Twain, about the history of the fair, and then at the end, they get to see the frogs and be able to touch the frogs.
Have most of these kids ever touched a frog before?
I would say about 65% or so, and a lot of them are new to the county. There's even people that live in this county, born and raised, that have never jumped a frog or never have come down to our frog spa and visited all the frogs that we have.
What do you think is the draw for the people who are interested in frogs and do like them? Because some people seem to be really frog crazy here. What's the appeal?
Part of the appeal is when they jump, if they do break the record, they get $5,000.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. If they don't break the record and they just win, they get $750, and it goes down to about seventh place for money. And the winner gets a very large trophy.
Tell me about the Frog Spa. What goes on there?
This is where we keep them. And like I said before, they're on vacation. They don't have to worry about any food. They don't have to worry about any predators coming and get them. We play them classical music at night, and they're just here for a good time. We try not to handle them very much because they are a wild animal. Also, after the fair, all the frogs go back and get repopulated in the ponds and creeks and streams where they got them out of. And I'm responsible for all that, and I'm responsible for all the frog, their care, to make sure that none of them get injured or hurt or anything like that.
What do you especially have to look out for?
I test the water each morning with a temperature gun, and 99 times out of 100, the frogs are cold. So when we come in the morning, we get some lukewarm water and put it through the tanks and try to warm them up so they have this nice start for the day.
What's the ideal temperature for frog pond water?
The ideal temperature is about 83 to 85. It's actually like when you go and test a baby bottle on your arm. And if that's nice, it's warm, and not too hot, that's what the frogs like.
So I would imagine that they have to be kind of warm to be limber enough, right?
They get more active as they get warmed up. That's why you'll see, if you're here, people take their frogs and let them sit in the sun for a little bit before they jump. They jump much better when they're at a warmer temperature than being cold.
What would happen if a frog got too hot?
If the frog got too hot, he would probably just sit there and not want to jump. The only thing he would want at that point is to get somewhere where it's cool so they can have a good life. You have to watch them all day long, and so no injuries or any harm come to the frog. That's my main job down here. I have several volunteers that come down and help, and they get trained. If they don't remember from the previous years, we go over it as like an orientation, and they learn it all over again, and they're good at their jobs.
What do you look for in a volunteer to do something like this?
One that's excited about frogs and wants to be able to be here most of the day so we can take care of the frogs.
What do the frogs eat when they're here?
When the frog is here at the Frog Spa, we feed them live crickets, and we go through approximately anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 crickets for the time they're here at the fair.
And where do the crickets come from?
Amazon.
Amazon.
They sell everything.
In the wild, they would eat crickets, I suppose. What else do they eat?
In the wild, the frogs would eat anything that will fit in their mouth. Snakes, lizards, other frogs, bugs, flies, even small mice. They're not very particular when they're out in the wild. All they want to do is get something to eat.
What happens with these frogs after the fair is over?
The people that brought us frogs, they will come after the finals on Sunday afternoon. But if you brought 50 frogs to us, you'll come back and take 50 frogs, and you'll go back and repopulate the area where you got them from.
Sounds like a good system.
It's an excellent system.
I hang out for a while at the Frog Spa, getting to know some of the people who make this system work so well.
We're in the Frog Spa.
That's your phone, yeah.
So this is a girl. See her ear? Much smaller than his.
She's gorgeous.
You got to squeeze right there. Down lower.
Okay, got it.
Got it?
Right there.
So you
right
with
the ribs,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We're describing the boy and the girl.
Yeah, look at how much bigger his feet are. They're fat.
Yeah.
His fingers are fat.
And the boy's beard is yellow, and the girl's is white. And then if you look at their ears are much larger than their eyes versus the girls, which are smaller. That's how you tell the difference. But their coloring can be any which whatever.
But their skin is smooth.
So are these different kinds of frogs?
Yeah. They're all
they're all American bullfrogs.
They're all of
we can't bring any from Africa, for example.
Oh,
froggy. That was quite a lot.
You got the boy one.
The African bullfrogs are much larger than our American bullfrogs. They're not allowed. But years and years ago, they would travel from all over the world and bring their frogs here to compete.
You've seen the pagoda from the 50s, the Chinese entrance. We also have the one from Belgium. There's one from France. There's one from the Philippines.
There's one that looks like a trailer, like a little camper. If you haven't went to the museum, I highly recommend it. It's amazing. My name is Beth Wakehouse, and I am from Papillion, Nebraska. I was gifted this trip 4 years ago by my husband for Christmas. This is our fourth year. Last year I asked to volunteer, and here I am having the best time of my life, taking care of the frogs, showing them to people like you, kids, everyone.
Now, you must have had a particular interest in frogs to begin with for your husband to give you
my
a trip.
My whole life. It started with my parents. The doctor said when I was born I had froggy legs. They said when I burped I sounded like a frog, and it's just gone and gone and gone. Like, you heard my phone ring. My phone has everything frogs. And this is the first year I've volunteered and plan to continue. So me and my husband, this is like our yearly trip now. I just love it. And the people are so nice and welcoming, and it's kind of like coming home, really. And I don't really know of them, but I do now. I feel like family.
What did you have to learn to volunteer here? What did you have to learn about frogs?
They tell you what you need to know. They show you how to hold them, and then they just put you to work. So just having a caring hand. So then they rotate them out. Like, this has a green washer. So they're taking them out of here, and they're putting them in a bag in a box, and they're running them up to the fun jump. And the washer down there is red, and those are the ones that they're bringing in. Because they try to keep them, like, maybe one or two jumps a day so they're not overworked.
So if these go down to the fun jump, whose frogs are these?
These are for anybody to
anybody.
Use. Anybody. Uh-huh. The major competitors bring their own. Or you can rent one of these and compete in the actual competition. And if you made it in, then we have a special spot back here that we take your frog and put it there until Sunday for the main event.
And how much does it cost to rent a frog?
$5. Either way, fun jump or actual competition.
So how many of the people here, if you know, how many of them are renting frogs, and how many of them are long-timers bringing their own trained frogs?
That I don't know for sure, but I know there's, what, four or five families?
Like generations.
And they're the ones that bring a lot of these frogs here, too.
Yeah. Now, does a crew have an advantage over an individual competitor?
No, I don't think so.
A 7-year-old won last year. They had the ages were 3 to, I believe, 81 that competed last year that made it in. So it's really the frog's day.
Are there tricks? Do you know of any tricks?
There are, and the pros will not tell you their tricks, but I know there's something about temperature of water, less touching them is another one, but the pros, they're not going to give your secrets. I've tried. They're not telling me nothing. So there is a Netflix show called We Are the Champions. It's number 5 on the list, called The Frog Jump. It's all about here and the families. I recommend you watch it. It's pretty amazing. I'm in the crowd. It's really interesting because then it does show like these families and like what they do to prepare for today. It's kind of amazing. The one family, they put out a whole carpet and test the frogs before they come to see how far they jump. It's pretty cool.
I found a contestant, Austin Borelli, who knows a thing or two about jumping frogs. His family has been doing it for several generations. Will Austin let me in on any family secrets? I ask him what it's like to be a frog jumper.
Well, you know, it's very exciting, and we get to come up here once a year.
try to jump the best we can. Sometimes can be intimidating with the big crowd and all these other competitors, but that's what makes it fun. It's great to be up here with family and to have my daughter do it and watch all my nephews get together and cousins and have a good time. So now my dad, they asked him to be the announcer to fill in for a little bit, and he's been coming up here his whole life. He's 57, and this is his first time going to announce, so he's pretty happy right now.
Where are you from?
I'm from Modesto, California. My grandpa, Frank Borelli Sr., started bringing us up here about, I want to say, close to 60 years now. And his brother-in-law, Eugene Fasano, they started coming up also. And now our team is with Fasanos and Borellis. And we got about 30 or 40 of us on a team. And it's a great time. We usually go on canals and stuff like that. We'll all meet up and stay out sometimes, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning if the frogging's good. We keep going and try to get as many as we can, and then we'll jump through those and kind of pick out the good ones and bad ones, separate them from their distance of how much they jump. And then the lucky ones get to come up to the Calaveras County frog jump. We try to get them about 3 weeks ahead. It's better when they're nice and fresh, you know, in the wild. And then we usually practice jumping them about one to two times each just to get a feel for it. And that way we could categorize it correctly and make sure it's going to be a solid one when we go up.
You were explaining some of the rules to me earlier. Explain what the DQ, the disqualification, what that is and how a frog can be disqualified.
So the DQ is a disqualification. So once the frog leaves the mat after the first jump, you can no longer touch the frog. You're allowed to touch the frog once you drop it, and it's still on the mat. But once it leaves there, you cannot touch it. You could blow to let it feel your air, or you could hit your hands on the ground real hard next to it to scare it. But no touching it after. And then, yep, if you touch it, it's a disqualification. There aren't too many rules about how it has to start. It's all on how you want to do it. So a lot of people, they'll either drop the frog from about 3 to 4 inches, or you could set it on the pad. But my opinion, when you drop the frog, it's a lot better because they feel that drop, and then they gather up real good, get strong, and then they go for their nice big jump. As of if you set it on the pad real gently, they might feel there's no pressure to even leave the pad. So they might not want to move on you.
Now, you get these frogs ahead of time. You check them out to get the best ones. You put the ones that don't seem like they're jumpers back. How do you care for or house those frogs while you're waiting for the contest?
So what we do, we have a kid pool, and what we do is we use gunny sacks. We always keep the sacks nice and wet, and frogs, they could stay in one spot for a while, so it's not harmful for the frog. They stay nice and damp and in their environment almost, and we keep them like that, and we'll rotate them to their containers with water and stuff to keep the water flowing, keep them like they're at home, because that's the biggest thing. You want to make them feel like they're not out of their environment. That way they feel more comfortable. Definitely another thing, and I'm not going to go too far into it, but temperature is a lot, okay? You don't want the frog heating up just like you don't want to heat up. You want to feel right when you're going out. You want to feel good. You don't want to feel under pressure, you know? So if a frog isn't feeling good, it's not going to do good for you. So you just want to have that frog feel as comfortable as it can. When you first come up here, you may not do your best, but you'll be able to see a lot of different teams, and you could get a lot of insight. And then for the following year, you know, you get better and better, and then you guys will start figuring out those temperatures, and you're going to get hooked. So that's the fun about it.
You feel like the more experienced teams really do, in general, do better?
In a way, yes, because of the knowledge, but it's still a frog at the end of the day, so you never know what that frog could do. You could have your best frog, you know, 20-footer that you did at home, and you bring it up here expecting it to do 20 feet, but sometimes more than you would like, the frog will do a little baby jump, and it's not going to hit 20 feet. And then that's your one jump, and you're done. But you could put more entries to jump more frogs, you know, but at the end of the day, you're never going to know exactly what that frog is going to do.
Do you have any, I know you can't give any secrets away, but do you have any tips for people who might want to come up here, not, you know, compete with you and your team, but come up and jump a frog?
Definitely. I think it's such a fun thing to do. It's definitely out of the ordinary, and it's a good time, you know, to get together, try something new. My advice is don't treat the frog like it's your pet, because then the frog's going to be more comfortable with you. So you want to do minimum contact with the frog. That's the advice that I could give you. just come up and experience it. It's something that you just got to see. Because when I tell my buddies and stuff, they're like, frog jumping? What? And I got to explain to them, hey, sounds weird, but it is so much fun. You know, it's once a year, and you just kind of get out there and have fun.
I'm Lori McCandish King, reporting from Calaveras County, California.
Their ear is bigger than their eye, and their beard is yellow. So that's how you tell the difference.
So they don't have genitalia?
These are the eggs right there. You see them? They look like little sesame seeds.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.